The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal serves all branches of the armed forces and are experts in military finances. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Never quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast, hanging out with the guys in the studio. We've got our guest in person today.
Right here.
Dustin, what's up, man?
What's up?
Oh, he didn't do it.
He scared summer, the last name. One man, yeah. Dustin Defenderfer. Is that it?
Defenderfer.
It's just like it sounds, spelled.
Say it, Morgan.
Defenderfer.
Was that right?
That was good.
Damn it.
Defenderfer. Just like it's spelled.
I'm sitting here listening to him.
Defenderfer.
Did you introduce yourself properly when he came in the door?
Yeah, totally.
Cheese whiz.
Cheese. Did you say cheese whiz?
Cheese donkey.
Cheese donkey. Okay.
So when we're having problems with our crew,
talent.
It's cheese donkey. They showed up hungover. Probably still inebriated.
See, look at this.
Stuck in the booth.
But we're here, man.
Yeah.
We are here.
At least I showed up.
At least I'm not scared. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not scared. All right, I got a question for you guys. If your life had a theme song, what would it be?
That is a great question. That is a great question, right?
Kid Rock, you never met a motherfucker quite like me.
There you go. Hey, that's nice, bro.
Let's edit that one.
Let's take that one out.
Well, then I'm going George Thurgood, Man of the Bone, dude.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
It's a good one.
I'd have to say Highwayman with my crew, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Country Boy Can't Survive.
Carry On Wayward Son.
Oh, that's a good one. Country Boy Can't Survive.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh.
Woo!
Country Boy Can't Survive is a pretty good one, though.
Oh, Hank, what you got?
Probably Chris Ledoux, thinking.
Which one?
Ooh. That's what I was thinking. There's one where he's bouncing around all those rodeos, getting pulled over just so he can make it on time.
Chris Ledoux's a good throwback.
I was just on the mower earlier, this cowboy's hat.
Yeah,
man, I'm a big Chris Ledoux fan.
Oh, yeah, he's got some good ones.
He's got good road tunes.
Yeah.
Like Backwoods by Yourself after you've heard everything on radio a million times.
You know who Cody Johnson is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably from here.
Texas, right?
Yeah. Here.
Really?
Yes. Right here.
He's a hometown hero. Dude's all time.
He's good. He's kind of a modern day Chris Ledoux, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this song by Kojo, it's called Doubt Me Now, would be mine.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
He knows him so well, he calls him Kojo.
Kojo.
That's what they call him, right?
All right.
I've never heard that. That's
Kojo. That's the thing. It's a thing.
No, I never heard him say
that. He didn't make it up.
Yeah, I'm not that cool.
Hell, I thought y'all was partners, man.
What you got, Dustin?
For songs?
Oh, you said Chris Ledoux. I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah, Chris Ledoux.
Pretty much every song Chris Ledoux sings is about me.
Chicks Dig It, Chris Cagle.
No.
Remember that one?
I know that song very well. No. No. That's yours?
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
That's yours? Chicks Dig It?
Chicks Dig It.
Oh, God, man.
He's on a roll, man.
I'm on a roll.
A life theme song. That's tough, though.
It is, right?
Yeah.
How about Sexy and I Know It? Hey, man, I'm just going to keep going. What do you got?
He's over there Googling cool walking music.
Good walking.
I've been thinking about this all day.
My God, dog, man. Just like my favorite all-time singer right now. I just cannot think of his name. Every song he sings is badass.
Genre of music, and I'll tell you who.
Country.
Country?
What about Eye of the Tiger?
Just.
Yeah, anytime good. That thing comes on, man, it's just like a.
Not Chris Stapleton. What's the guy we were listening to earlier?
Luke Combs.
Yeah.
Dang, man. You like Luke Combs?
Yeah, he's got some good ones.
Dude, I mean, everything that dude sings about,
Yeah.
Is relatable. That's a good question, man.
Great question.
That's a hard, that's tough. I think we should, I think we should have deep thought questions.
Yeah.
Like deep thought questions.
On it. Like deep music. Thought with Marcus and Morgan Luttrell.
What's that, yeah. What was that one where they used to play the little theme song?
Yeah.
I know we're supposed to have all that, man, but.
Hey, man, I was playing them. I was playing them.
Was that Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Or was that In Living Color?
Which is equally as entertaining and good. Well put together, thought out.
I'm 39.
So 40 is different. That's a big change.
He gets coming up.
It's not really. He just says that.
It is.
This is summer. We're 40. We're in our 40s.
Well, Dustin is the founder of Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. If you guys didn't already know it, he is a great guy. He has actually been supporting the podcast probably for 2+ years now. Really appreciate you being out here today, man.
Likewise. It's beautiful down here.
Thank you.
Man. And that's a Montana boy saying that.
How you like this? How you like this weather, bud?
Oh, man. I did a workout this morning and sweated about 8 gallons of sweat.
So the humidity hits you, going to hit you hard, man. It's tough down here.
Yeah.
That's a separation between us, the guys, that when that humidity, you grew up in that cold atmosphere, especially down here. We tell people to only come visit in August, man.
Yeah.
No joke.
The humidity.
It gets you.
Just started sweating.
It's not even hot time. Yet. Like this.
No,
is,
this ain't nothing.
This is great.
This is mild.
We actually have perfect weather. I mean, we do. We have perfect weather. Like, at night, especially, it'll get down to the 70s and the 50s sometimes.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, we have these early. But when the humidity's in here, it's 120, 150. Man, it's just.
Not cool.
That's rough.
Not cool at all.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's not very nice at all. It's very...
It feels good, though. We've had a cold winter in Montana. Long winter.
Mm. Where you at on that one?
Dude, Christmas, it was warm. Yeah, I was about to say, we were in shorts for Christmas.
We had the freeze. Really? Yep. We had the freeze.
Mm-hmm. We had a bill of the freeze.
Year before last.
Year before last? Yeah. That was a big deal to us.
First freeze.
20 degrees.
Oh, it was.
And like snow.
No.
It was snow.
And stayed.
But it was 20 degrees. Can you imagine? We're freaking out about 20 degrees. It's like 20 degrees year round where you guys are.
Yeah, every night.
Well, then sit there and let us to complain about it.
We love it, though.
This is how you learn how to be relative, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of when the stuff that we complain about, y'all don't, and vice versa. But we actually come up to hang out with y'all just to get in the cold.
Yeah, get in the snow.
And play all them games you guys got up there.
Yeah.
Because you got good hunting. Yeah, hunting.
It's a great spot. Hunting, fishing, skiing.
Tell us a little about yourself, man. So you're born and raised in Montana, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Montana. My dad came from Wyoming. They ran a quarter horse ranch.
Ooh, we did that.
In Wyoming.
Did you grow up on that?
We moved to Billings when I was 6 months. So my dad left the ranch, got into crude oil marketing. So he's been to Houston a lot. Yeah, for all the crude oil, but always went down to see my grandpa on his place. He was into racing quarter horses.
That's what we were. And the oil business, too.
Yeah.
Until our dad got in the chemical business, when the oil business took the hit. When was that? In the 80s?
80s.
80s, right?
Yeah.
84?
Right. Same line. We were in the... I think those ran together. All them boys that were in the oil business got in the quarter horse.
Can't make no money on quarter horses.
Because we had a quarter horse ranch. I mean, we had upwards of 800 head?
No, not even close.
Yeah, we did.
No, that is a gross embellishment of the truth.
No, it's not.
We did have 4 bloodlines going through our ranch, though.
You did.
And we spent every weekend at the damn track.
Yeah, I remember that every weekend as a kid, just standing next to my grandpa at the track. We would go, like, Casper, Wyoming, just watch the races.
We never went that far. We Oklahoma, I think, was the first one. Yeah. Maybe Kansas.
They may have went somewhere further than that, but we always stayed back.
I know the quarter horses are pretty regional, like, compared to the thoroughbreds.
You still in that now? Still on the ranch now?
Nope. Yeah, so he passed and then grew up in Billings, went to college in Bozeman, but just grew up around the whole passion of bow hunting. So my dad got me into bow hunting for elk when I was 12. Then we started traveling the West all throughout Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, New Mexico, just archery hunting with him. And that was kind of our thing. It was bow hunting all fall, fly fishing all summer. So went to college in Bozeman because I wanted to be around better hunting, being a Billings kid. And then still just kind of pursued those passions of the outdoors.
It's going to be great going to college in Montana.
It's good.
Because that's Montana. Is that Montana or Montana State?
Bozeman's Montana State.
Okay. Because our country, where we went to school, is our little country college, same reason state. And we get all the hunting and fishing we could do, but not like, just different, right?
Yeah. 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 They still have like the gun lockers at Montana State. So you show up, put all your guns in the basement, the dorms, just so you can go hunting all the time.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's more Texas it's than
saying,
Texas.
It's saying something.
That's pretty cool.
You got to leave it in your truck here.
Yeah, exactly.
You got brothers and sisters?
One sister. Yeah. 4 years older than I am.
What's she do?
She's in Billings, just raising kids, selling insurance.
Being a mommy.
Cool. All your family, like how many generations have come out of there? Y'all, are y'all the ones that founded it?
The Mountain Tough?
No. Ranch. How long has your family been in Montana?
Since like my grandma Irma came there in like 1910.
Yeah, so way back, right?
Yeah, I remember she gave me a wallet from her husband, my great great grandpa after he died, and it showed his ID in there of him coming to Ranchester, Wyoming in like 1909.
That's cool, man.
Pretty wild.
That is wild.
It's a good spot.
I like being comfortable, being uncomfortable. We say that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would say it. We say that a lot.
Explain that.
Yeah.
So I think for us, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable is getting people able to handle adversity. So if you can handle adversity in the gym, you can handle it a lot better in the field. If you can handle it in the field, you can handle it a lot better at home. So we want people to be comfortable being uncomfortable so that they don't freak out and panic, so that stress level comes down and it's a situation they can deal with.
See, that's good, because this is the perfect topic to talk about too, and you're the perfect person to speak on this. In 2020, people don't like to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows at a very grand scale.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, Mountain Tough's major mission right now. Mountain Tough started in 2016, and most of it started off of that background of mine being a Montana kid, passionate archery elk hunter. Then when I went to college in Bozeman, I met my wife, and she was the passionate runner, and so we started traveling around and doing all these.
So you chased her?
Chased her, yeah. She loved to run.
Like to run?
I did not like to run.
At all, right?
No. Yeah.
Do you now?
I still don't like to
run. Okay, great. Yeah. I mean, how is that? Because he loves to run.
Yeah.
He runs ultra, so I mean,
He loves to run.
There's like a gray area.
I don't at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not even remotely. And he's like, hey, man, come watch me run. Like, but if I don't like to run, why would I even want to watch you do that kind of deal? I mean, it's the one sport it's tough to keep up with.
Yeah, it's not really a spectator sport.
Nah, either. Right?
Especially when you're running the mountains.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
There he was. We've been here for 24 hours. Good to see you.
Again, and then if you once. Do ask him a question like, hey, how you doing? They can't talk because they're doing the breathing pattern, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been on this journey since then to essentially help men become more mentally tough. And one of the ways that we do that is through all of our training. But one of the big things that we're doing now is we know that like a man that can become more used to some adversity, and then especially can spend some time outside in the outdoors doing really harder things, is going to be a way better man. And so that's our mission right now, which is very rooted around training someone for an extreme backcountry hunt. So how would you train someone for 7 to 10 days, Alaska doll sheep hunt? Well, we'll train them exactly for that mission, very mission specific. But more importantly, what we want that person to learn is how to handle adversity, because we know that training for that hunt alone is going to change his life. We know the hunt's going to change his life. And then we know that he's going to come home a better father, husband, and friend. So it's a fun, really awesome journey we've been on.
That's a life-changing hunting. Mm-hmm. That's a life. Just the training for the hunt in itself will get them where they want to go.
Yeah.
The hunt solidifies it. I mean, there is an absolute change in somebody when you do that for the first time. It's a different life altogether. I mean, especially if they're not a hunter by birth, like hunter-gatherer. That's a whole thing of people.
Mm-hmm.
You take them out there, and you can see a physical change in them. It's a confidence and builds that. Take them back to the old ways, how it used to be, where you had to get your butt up and go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because you're familiar with ultra running and marathons and just living in the outdoors. It's not risk. I don't know if this translates very well because like the hunt's the exciting part, but like for the runs, the race is nothing. It's the journey getting there.
Yeah,
it's the most rewarding.
The training,
the race
effect.
Is just one day, right?
Yeah.
The cool part about hunting is there's a reward.
It would be great to put this in. So we're, do you guys specifically focus on training people that are going on these crazy hunts? Because I think like people in the executive levels that need to be taken outside their comfort zone in order.
Yeah.
Because one feed the other.
As grueling as it gets in corporate America, if you have somebody who, because the way we relate to it, and you can relate to this too, is like, hey, look, for us, nobody's shooting at us. It ain't that big of a deal. I'm not going to get spun up. You're not going to piss me off. I'm not going to start yelling. I'm not going to freak out because it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Been through worse.
Yeah.
A lot of these people can't. They don't have that relative experience. This is...
Yeah, they don't have that core of...
You guys take them up there or you, well, just, that, you yeah. do it virtually?
It's all virtual. Yeah. So when we started, we were getting all the, in 2016, 17, 18, we were getting all of the diehard backcountry hunters. So there was a group of hunters out there that were just waiting for us to exist. So they were waiting for someone to train them mission specifically for this job. So we always talk about it as like in the NFL, the NFL's world's best strength coach is going to, he's going to train the offensive lineman very specific for that job.
But functional strength.
Yeah. But he's going to train the wide receiver very differently than the offensive lineman.
Sure.
Well, no one had ever treated the backcountry hunter that way. And the backcountry hunter is a really unique athlete. They have to go in, you know, 7 to 10 days, high elevation, rugged terrain, the weather. But what makes them pretty unique is coming out with those heavy loads.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not many other athletes coming out with those heavy loads on the end of their trip.
And people don't know what that means. Explain it to them. What we do.
Yeah.
You're carrying out what you shot.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so you're going in with 50 pounds, which is all the food, water, and supplies, shelter that you're going to need for 7 to 10 days. But if you're fortunate enough to harvest an animal, even like deer, elk, moose, bear, caribou, you're coming out with 100 pounds, 80, 90, 100 pounds. But more than that, you're usually having to do that 3 or 4 trips. So if you're on a solo like backcountry elk hunt and you're 13 miles in, if you harvest an elk on day 7, you're going to have to go in there 4 times to get that elk out. So you're going in 4 times, coming out with 100 pounds each time. So it's a very unique athlete compared to anything else. And so breaking down that athlete specifically and training them specifically is awesome, but it's also very apparent that that athlete needs to be extremely mentally tough.
Yeah, and to break that down, let's peel that onion back even more. So let's just say hypothetically you're going in for 13 miles for an elk.
Yep.
You're not walking a 15-minute pace.
Mm-hmm.
You're climbing mountains, you're going up, you're doing up downs, you're going at a snail's pace. So it is an evolution.
Yeah.
Because going in, you have to pack out all the water, which weighs a ton, because mm-hmm. you have to stay hydrated or you become a casualty yourself. Minimal food, but you have to eat.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to the animal, you have to have enough store to get back out and do it all over again.
Yeah.
And that in itself is just a kick in the cojones.
Yeah.
Because most of the guys, where it depends. Like, there's a difference between that ultra running kind of deal and then hunting up there. You train them for like buddy training, they go in pairs. Because going by yourself, man, most guys, we like to do that. It's the simplicity of it. It's by yourself, it's like those rugged. But that's also where it's tough.
Yeah. It's yeah. Tough, a lot of these backcountry hunts will have 2 or 3 people on them for sure. But there definitely is the situations where the guy's going to go in solo. And that's where you see if someone's going to make it or not, is you'll have someone who thinks they're really physically fit and is a phenomenal hunter, but getting their elk out solo is a whole different game.
Oh.
Imagine getting a moose out. It's a different pack.
Yeah. Yeah. Moose quarters.
I
don't even think most people know about these types of hunts, especially people here in the South. You know, how physically demanding that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think to go back to your first question about corporate executives and others that could really use this kind of training, we've seen a tremendous amount of that in the last couple of years. So after we first started getting a lot of the diehards, now what we see is a ton of people are using our training, or just a ton of Americans are looking for a backcountry hunt as something that's very aspirational. So mm-hmm. like in the corporate world, you'll see a ton of people that have never hunted out west before, but it is something they want to do 2 years from now, and they're ready to start training for it now, which is exciting for us because we know that that life change is going to start to happen just by that training. Just like you saw with the ultras, like there's race day and then there's that whole year you train for that race, and you learn more from that training than you almost do on race
day. I mean, the Saturdays and Sundays on training days were nightmares
mm-hmm.
to prep you for that one day.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if you want to see how tough you are, you got to see how tough you're not. And there's different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
So explain that. I mean, from the way I do my training now, because the way I'm beat up, when January and February come in, I got to start thinking about the gym, and I'll do that for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I'll lay my clothes out and try to get used to it. And then I'll come down to the gym and just, you can do one push-up and leave, because it takes more willpower to do one push-up and leave than it does to get in there and just be miserable the whole time. It's like building up a process. It's a mm-hmm. step-by-step kind of deal. And that is, you change in that and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Most people won't even step in anything because they look at what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they don't look like that. I was like, man, there's no, I can't do that because I'm not built like that. I was like, man, the mountain made that.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain did that to you, right? And if it's like going into, people won't take jiu-jitsu because they think you're going to get your ass whipped every single freaking day. No, they're in there to coach you. They're in there to help you. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's not a beat you to death and hurt you, because that scares most people away.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you learn to whip your ass on your own and it becomes a rite of passage for yourself, and you change and it feeds itself, man. People are like, how do you keep this? Like, man, just keep showing back up.
Yeah.
Just
keep showing. Give us kind of an idea what, I know it's not, I can't say atypical or typical, so give us the atypical workout where, say we're back on, we're going for bear. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you lay this thing out, hey, look, I'm going to call you, like I'm going brown bear hunting. So I tell you, hey, I'm going in August. This is where I'm going. What do I need?
Yeah, so all of our training is focusing on the backcountry hunter in general. So we're not going to break down for like a specific hunt. But what we are doing is breaking down that specific athlete and what they're going to need and the skills that they're going to require. And then after that, we decide, is that athlete going to train at home, or are they going to train in the gym? So building a program around someone that's got full gym or someone who's got minimal gear. So we need
to build a program for this dude and then let them go through it. And then on the way back, we'll be like, hey, how'd it work out?
Yeah.
Is that backcountry enough, the bear hunts?
Oh, yeah.
All right, check.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Walk the walk, talk the talk. Yeah, I'm excited for you, man. Okay, we got another dude. He can do it.
I think the adversity building, though, is spot on, where people get to where it is just one baby step after another baby step after another baby step, and then they look back and realize they're way tougher than they used to be.
Is that how you push people? I get the question all the time. How do I push past mental fatigue and a mental breakdown? Do you guys have a program that does it in just small, like you're saying, like baby steps? You'll meet a threshold. You'll meet a threshold and then exceed a threshold. Is that kind of y'all's philosophy?
Yep. Yeah. So a lot of what we'll do is start someone on like a beginner ramp them up, and then that beginner phase is all neuro recruitment. So making sure that all the muscles are firing the right way, making sure that you're not going to get injured, and then we'll introduce something really hard. And so all of our programming has a lot of mental toughness,
like a 10-mile ruck run or walk, not march or something like that, or
Yeah, we have some. We have like ruck periodizations in all of our programs because you just can't mimic a heavy pack in the gym. So these folks are going to need to put on a heavy pack to get ready for these trips. So all of our programming has ruck periodizations in it, which is heavy pack training with long extended days.
Oh, man. All right. How do you correlate the weather?
The weather training?
Yeah.
A lot of that is...
Because that's the kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
When that sucker rolls in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think about how you don't really notice that until you put a bunch of... The military taught us this, but you put a bunch of us in one area and switch the conditions, see which dude's freaking boonk.
Yeah.
And that physical training, that's got to be difficult, huh?
That's tough, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, and training people for the weather is very challenging without throwing them in there. Like, to do that in a controlled environment is hard. So I think making sure that they are getting outside and doing these workouts in preparation for the hunt is a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, making sure they're wearing the boots they're going to wear on these trips, the clothes they're going to wear on these trips, the pack they're going to wear on these trips is a game changer.
Bro, that's huge. It's almost like, when the weather turns foul, you get to get your ass outside. The only way you're going to learn how to survive on a rainy day is get out there and live in it.
Yeah.
And that helps when you're young. And when we go into the military at a young age, man, they just throw us out there and all that stuff we have to go through. You don't even know any better, but then what are we going to do? Just complain. And then you get that complaint out of there. So when we go outside and whatever turns on us, we're like, yeah, man, we remember what it was like to be young and complain through it. But once you know you can make it through there, then that's a hard set.
Yeah.
Like once you push through something, man, it's staked in the ground. You're not going back. It's like knowing you went through junior high school and college, you don't have to go back through that, man. You already did it, right?
Yeah.
You can just revert, remember.
That's pretty solid advice that I don't think a lot of people consider is, hey, look, if you're, especially people that never hunted before, like it's like a bucket list thing, like I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I always say a year, but let's just say six months for argument's sake. If you don't have the pack, like you're saying, the pack, the boots, the pants, and you're not walking, working out, if you're not feeling how that thing rides on your shoulders, how wear it, that hot spot it gives you on your lower back.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not doing that and you get into the mountains to do that for the first time, Dunsky.
Yeah. It's almost like you're preparing your body for that suck. The harder you train is like, oh, it gets so much easier. Like, no. That's not what that means.
That's a relatability to the training for the races.
You
and
get
then
your
race
body
day.
Ready for that.
Yep.
So when it shows up, you know you're in it.
Yep.
And the more you do it, sure. It's like get good at something and get to you not bad at it. But all the scars that we carry and everything from all that, I mean, when we throw it on there, it's still, we can feel it.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any feedback from anybody that you train that's, like, I showed up wearing a new pair of boots. Told me they weren't going to give me a boot.
That's awesome.
It's so crazy how, like, common that is for.
How do you address them? It's like, hey, man, you look new.
yeah. This is going to be a problem.
You're shiny. You look kind of new, man.
Oh, man. It's so common. People crashing and burning because they didn't try their gear out, which is crazy because, like, to be a really proficient hunter, they're going to spend all summer shooting their bow. They're going to spend all summer shooting their rifle. But they need to treat their body as a weapon, too, to be ready for these trips.
Never failed, and I always, he and I both went through sniper school, and it never fails when you're doing those stocks and you got your ruck, you got your right, you got your drag bag, you got your gills, you got cameras, you got everything, and every single time you got in a position to take the perfect shot, you were never ever laying perfectly prone.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally like bouncing on one knee, leaning up against a tree.
I mean,
something crazy.
Yeah,
and practicing that way. Because when it comes down to the shot and you've traipsed up through those mountains and out through that miserable, you're never going to be comfortable.
If you look good in practice, you're not practicing.
Yeah.
At all.
You got to make it.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, some of that stuff. The best is when you get the gear. Hell, yeah, it looks good on the model. It definitely looks good on the model, but you don't look like the model.
Yeah.
So you need to put that shit on there and get some jangling going.
That motto ain't got no love handles, man. When
you lay down somewhere and that motherfucker starts digging on you, it will drive you crazy.
Oh, right? Man.
I mean, yeah. That's especially if you're hunting. Because you, in the military, if you get pissed off because that stuff's doing to you, makes some noise, sweet, it's a fight. Let's do it. You know, I was a pissed off man. Go start a fight, bro. Let's go get in one. Yeah. Out there, it's quiet.
You can't be doing that,
dude, man. And to know what makes noise and what doesn't. What rattles after this, when it's after it's wet, bro?
Oh, yeah.
You get something wet, that changes everything.
Squeaky.
Yeah.
Squeaky.
Ah, man. Then how pissed off you get, your intentions of opening something out there. Mm-hmm. Like when you're upset, you open it real fast as opposed to just trying to.
You guys walk people through all that kind of stuff, too?
Oh, man.
When you're coaching them?
We do a little bit of gear, like education. Mostly it's encouraging them to wear this stuff on those ruck periodizations. So if they spend all summer in this stuff, they're going to be in pretty good shape when they get out there.
Jed, have them jump in that Tempur-Pedic bed with it on.
With that ruck on, man. So,
get in that bed, sleep on it.
You have to silence all your gear, right? It's even just, it's applicable to hunting, too. You have to silence and make sure it makes noise. But if you're in a room like this, let's say of all of us, you're trying to silence your gear, you put it on, you jump around, you fall down, around, and you're like, oh, I can't hear anything. But when you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's pitch black,
quiet,
and nobody's making a peep,
everything.
It is the loudest shit you've ever heard. You're like, where did that come from?
Oh, get a friend with some new babies, throw your girl on and walk around in a nursery trying not to wake them up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're dealing with, right?
And those animals can hear it from miles away.
And smell, I mean, you smell new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It's crazy.
And guys get detailed on it. Now, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's how guys get good.
Yeah,
because their attention to detail in the stuff that sucks, you can nitpick that stuff to where it's good. Like you're smooth, man, that kind of deal. Sure, that's there's not very many of them,
mm-hmm.
and we all see them. You know, I'm talking about like when you say their name or some shit like that, they'll be like, oh yeah, that dude, man, that's his life.
Yeah,
you guys have people come up to the lab and you personally.
We do. Yeah. So we have our headquarters in Bozeman, which is an R&D lab for the mountain athlete, which is awesome.
Dude, that needs to be an Olympic sport.
Yeah, it's my favorite place. So every day we're researching what works and what doesn't work on the mountain. And we're lucky that we get to test a lot of that on the world's most dedicated, just because of who lives in Bozeman. We're fortunate that, you know, a lot of the most dedicated hunters live there, but also you're going to have dedicated backcountry skiers.
You realize everyone always just everyone in Montana is like Yellowstone.
Not everyone.
It doesn't matter what. Every time you open your mouth to someone down here in the South, they're going to be like, it's one of them Yellowstone boys out there, man. Which one is he, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did all this thing get started in the first place? Like, what led you to create Mountain Tough Fitness?
Oh, man, the story is cool just looking back on it now. So what happened when my wife and I started getting into all those ultra marathons is we went to Ethiopia through our church. So we went to Ethiopia on a short-term mission trip. And before we went, I had like this corporate America dream type job. So I landed this job really young in Bozeman, where the sky was the limit on income in terms of like corporate America business stuff. It was the best job I was going to get in the Rocky Mountain West. And then we went to Ethiopia and we worked for 2 weeks with kids that only lived in the landfill. So these kids slept in the landfill, ate in the landfill, hung out in the landfill all day. So think of your like big local dump where everyone's taking their stuff all day long. That's where these kids lived. So we spent 2 weeks just working with, hanging out with them every day, just trying to be a resource any way we could. And so I came home from that trip and it was just like complete re-entry depression. So like I came back to my plush life in Bozeman. Nothing to worry about, nothing to stress about after just watching those kids live in the dump for 2 weeks. And so I was having a really hard time with that whole concept. And my wife and I didn't have any kids at that time. And so we're like, now's the time to go back. Let's just go back. Now's the time. And so we both quit our big kind of corporate America dream jobs. She was in advertising in a nursing school, and then I quit my job, and we went back to Africa full time. And so we wound up in Uganda, and Uganda had a few years earlier just came out of that civil war with Joseph Kony. So Joseph Kony was leading the LRA, the child soldiers. Yeah. So he had child soldiers just steamrolling through there. And we worked with an orphanage that was out there to rescue those kids. And the coolest thing about this place was there's a lot of orphanages in Africa, but this one in particular, the whole model was to keep kids from being in this orphanage system their whole lives, which is a component I loved. The model was like, let's rescue these kids, but then let's teach them some skills so that they can be the next leaders in their region. So the entrepreneurship skills we were able to teach them, and then my wife was able to teach the nursing skills, was phenomenal. And so we ran this place of 240 kids, and a lot of them were casualties of the war. So a lot of them had lost their whole family because the LRA had came through their whole village. But the crazy part was, like, a lot of kids there were child soldiers themselves that had been rescued from the system. So, like, there was boys there that were in situations where the LRA would come into their village in the middle of the night, and they would ask the boys if they would join. So one of our guys, they asked if they would join. The brother said no, and they just shot the brother right in the head right next to him. And then, so he ended up being a child soldier because he didn't want to get shot like his brother. And then they would just send him into villages with machetes in the middle of the night. And so the kids that we were able to work with was just life-changing, game-changing stuff. It was the funnest, most rewarding, adrenaline-pumping, challenging season of my life for sure. And so how this all led to Mountain Tough is kind of cool looking back on, just like looking back on God's footsteps now is crazy, because there was the ranch history in our family, and then there was the elk hunting of my childhood with my dad, and then the ultra running with my wife into the work in Africa. All of those components, like, I have a part in Mountain Tough, which is awesome, when the whole, like, grit and adversity that's involved. But what happened that started us officially was we thought we were going to stay in Uganda forever, and it was the best thing we ever did. And then my wife got pregnant. And so at 9 months, we came home to Bozeman to have my first daughter be delivered, and we had no plan B. We for sure thought my daughter would be born in Bozeman, and then we would just be right back at the guest house a few weeks later. And being like a first-time parent, I had no idea
what that was.
I had no idea what that actually meant. So we ended up having our daughter, and when she came out as a real human, I was like, there's no way that I can take this tiny little thing back to Uganda right now. And so what that led to was, like, the best part of that was it led to this like paradigm breaking, where it was like, you don't need to just go back and chase the corporate America stuff that everyone else is doing. You don't need to do what everyone else is doing. And then Africa teaches you a ton about, like, you don't need to worry so much about money and finances and corporate ladder type stuff. And so, you know, one big eye opener of Africa is the people are generally way happier than Americans. So people, living over there with nothing are typically pretty happy and smiling and having pretty good days for the most part. And so all of those events, what it did lead me to do was I knew I was going to start.
Besides the kids and everybody running into tents with machetes.
Yeah. I mean, besides
that, can get out of hand.
Yeah, that stuff is crazy. But I think.
How is that? That's a huge paradigm shift, right?
Yeah. The happiness.
Well, no, to be that happy, but for that to.
The rest of the world has no clue. A lot of people don't even know that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And if they even do, they don't know what that really
is.
Smells like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you seeing it? Or hearing about it and seeing it?
Seeing it's one thing. You see that shit on TV.
Man, when you're in there and that smell hits you in the face, man.
You encode that and you'll never forget, which I'm sure you know.
It's crazy to see, like, it is astonishing to see how some of them are so happy living in third world conditions. I think a lot of it is they're not very distracted like Americans are. So they're not on their phones all day. They're not chasing a lot of different emails. I think a lot of it is their connection to nature is way deeper.
Oh, sure. That's how you reset.
Yeah.
And third world, I mean, just because you're poor doesn't... Money, like you said, doesn't mean anything.
Because
I know billionaires that live in a cabin. It's cleanliness. Like if you pick it up, if you're not killing everybody around you, and things are happy. That's how you know that's a rich life.
Do you ever expose to conflict while you're over there? Or they kind of keep you a little bit further back?
Yeah, I was never exposed. Just a few like sketchy situations, but no, we never had anyone come in with guns.
That's the going over there and seeing that. We do it in our family too. It's important to take the kids too.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to appreciate America, the minute you see somebody not appreciate America, there needs to be a program. Like, even when civilians can hide, like, you ain't appreciating this place, you need to take your ass over and do something about it. Right? Because, I mean, it does. As soon as you come back in here, so much so that it showed you the life. I mean, when you have everything, sometimes it's cool to see it. I mean, you go back and there's a reminder of how wonderful you got it.
Yeah,
it's a balance, man. It's that reset, sure.
So you guys came back after. How many kids do you have now?
Two daughters now. Yeah,
so how old?
7 and 9.
That's good. Yeah, it's good.
You got a 9. What are their names?
Ava and Addie.
I have one of those. Addie. Adelaide.
Yeah.
It's a family name, and I married into a Cajun family. I met my wife on a blind date. Had no idea. She was from Louisiana. It's a big deal. Marrying outside our gene pool.
Yeah.
He almost lost his mind about it. But because she was here in Texas when I found her. And, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so. And the family name, Adelaide, was that she had it in her family.
How'd you guys kick it off?
Yeah, so then, based on all those experiences, I just knew, A, that I was going to do something I was passionate about. And then B, I knew I was going to do something that kept me outside more, away from a computer more, and kept me engaged with building a community. And so that was like the epiphany moment for Mountain Tough was, hey, no one's doing this. No one's training these guys, and let's build a community around it. And so it started bootstrap, like 100% bootstrap. My buddy built the logo. We hung flyers in the bow shop. I started training guys in the park behind my house. So I trained guys in the park behind my house on the monkey bars. And then we ended up moving into a PT clinic and then leased our own gym. And now we're building a new R&D lab right now. But it's been a crazy journey. And just watching the community grow and people do this training all over the world now is cool.
Do you have your own merchandise, your own rucks? You develop your own rucksacks and all that kind of stuff?
No. We just have the merch.
Bro, you know what you kind of develop is a predator program. But I mean, for men. So think about that. So in the beginning, you train them to get out in the mountains away from their tech.
Yeah.
Away from the kids, because they're proficient at that. Teach them to be proficient without it back in the land gap. And then kind of like with the military and the predator, right? All they are is high speed, old fashioned. Mm-hmm. You got that the tech is cool. The bows we carry now, and this amazes me. Every year they add something to it to make them cooler.
Yeah.
They don't weigh anything anymore. The only thing you hear ripping through the air is that freaking arrow. You make them any faster, they split in half.
It's crazy. It's
pretty unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
What the tech that we have. I would imagine now they'll get into where they can fold out and back and stuff.
You recurve, longbow, or compound?
Compound. Yeah.
All right, see the slingshot? With the compound bow that you put the slingshot webbing in it?
No.
Yeah.
Man, this dude was 300 yards popping steel with ball bearings.
300 yards?
300 yards. Took a slingshot webbing, put it inside the compound bow, and was just reeling it.
Crazy.
That is a kick-ass weapon.
Yeah.
I started shooting crossbows.
You did?
That's his thing.
Ravens.
Man. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. 400 feet per second.
I said it was cool, man.
anyway.
Don't give me a look. I said it was cool. I can't be doing anything.
I tell you what, if you guys did rucksacks, I'd buy one, I think, right now.
I don't know
how far you guys are pushing it. Like, imagine if you bring somebody in. Hey, this is the hunt I'm going to do. And here's your body type. We've researched all this. We make our own. Here's the internal frame, external frame. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because for carrying is different. It's a different kind of weight carrying, right? When we're talking about meat, bloody, everything.
Oh, yeah. With this,
I mean, it's almost, you got to put that animal on.
Teach them how to.
You got
to
specialize
that animal down there is if you took that hide and put it on, right? And then somehow drug them. That's the way they'd old school it.
Yeah, you got to have pretty specialized gear now.
For, teach them how to pack their rucks and everything. We be surprised how big of a deal that is.
Yeah, that's a big deal. We're not doing any pack education right now.
Write this down, man. We're giving you.
Yeah.
We had weeks and weeks and weeks of, hey, this is how you need.
Oh, yeah.
We're here to spin you up. That's why you can get this thing rocked off, man, and just be as awesome shit that we'll
give you
visit.
A bunch of.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah. We'll come hang out. Yeah.
How many members are you up to right now?
10,000?
Yeah, so we're at like 13,000 now. So 13,000 guys across the country.
Oh, 10 you're in.
It's crazy.
One tells the other, it perpetuates itself. That's how it grows.
I'm gonna sign up as
that. You keep doing, all you do is just keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
Just keep doing your thing.
Where are you guys wanting to take this thing? And just.
So the mission for the next couple of years is exciting because it's all about, we always talk about it with our team is what we're doing is we're creating elite men. And so we have
that again. Everybody needs to hear that.
It's not pretty good. You even delivered it well.
We're creating elite men is what we're doing. It's awesome.
I understood the whole word there and the concept.
That is a t-shirt and a half. You got that on the back of one of your shirts?
Not yet. You guys have all the ideas.
You said it.
I'm giving them to you, man. Dude, you're throwing them back.
Just pulling them juices out of them, bro.
Let's do a co-branded.
You recording this? Yeah.
There you go.
So
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. We're giving all this for you, man. This ain't our ideas. Everything. Dude, if we can help you in any way, you got a solid plan.
We create elite men.
It's awesome.
It does. It works, man.
That's a big deal in 2022.
Yeah. And we don't define elite like the world does necessarily. For us, it's like this man needs to be physically strong. They need to be mentally strong. And then mental has a lot of components. They need to be mentally tough, but can they handle stress? Do they know how to deal with anxiety? What are they going to do about those kind of elements? And then there's the whole spiritual realm. So there's a lot of ways to take care of an elite man, but they're all, it's like four legs to a really good bar stool. So they need to have the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual.
Yeah.
And if one of those legs breaks, they're in trouble. So that like an elite man needs to be focused on those areas. And we've done a really good job of taking care of them physically and mentally, but there's still like so much that we can help them learn over the next couple of years.
Oh, nature teaches that hard one. They're all hard emotion, because basically the way you teach that is you got to deal with everyone's emotion, everyone else's. It sharpens yours.
Yeah,
like you'll run into it, and if you haven't never seen it before, man, you're kind of like, ugh. But one feeds the other. When you put them suckers into nature, they can't talk back. It's like out here, man, you grew up on a horse ranch too. It's like, man, you got a wild ass kid. Put him out there with the animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put him out there with the alpha, the bull, right?
Yeah.
The stud horses. They can't talk back.
Yeah.
And they get their asses handed to them.
So we create elite men. So what does that mean? It's like in any given situation, they cannot be broken. So if you have the four legs, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, if one of those is either taken away, the other three will have to compensate until we can fix the one. But they're so proficient in all four. That's what we focus on, right? That's what you guys are focusing on. We're so proficient at building out the four legs can't be broken.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pillars. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy what, like, even if you take the spiritual pillar, for example, like, one thing that's really funny is watching my daughters now. So my daughter is, my 9-year-old earlier this year was, you know how kids get really tired and grouchy and are breaking down about
something? Yes, we
know. Yeah. So one day.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So one day we were in our Suburban, we're driving home. Both my daughters are in the back seat. And my older daughter is crying about, my younger daughter has this water bottle in the front cup holder, and my younger daughter has her water bottle in the back. It's one of those cup holders that's between the two seats. My older daughter wants the other cup holder. So literally these things are like an inch away from each other. And my older daughter, just because she happened to be really like tired and grouchy that week, is crying about a cup holder. And we were, my wife and I were laughing so hard. And then finally, like a few days later, we were able to joke with her, like, hey, you remember when you're crying about a cup holder and how ridiculous that was? Well, the cool thing to me is like, that's how God looks at us right now as adults when we're going through something pretty stressful. So we're going through, let's say our business is running low on cash, or let's say I'm fighting with my wife, and I start to feel all this like emotional stress, and I start to get like pouty and moping around. Well, God's kind of looking at us like I was looking at my daughter, like, do you realize you're crying over something that's like this big in the grand scheme of life right now? And so when a lot of our guys start to realize that leg of their stool gets so strong, because mm-hmm. it's like, I can handle a lot more knowing that this is just one tiny little speck in my life. And so all of these pillars really feed off each other.
Yeah, that's another line.
Did you, like,
quit crying over cup holders.
Yeah. Bro, so many shirts after this show.
Yeah. So you said, by sharing that your story about in Uganda, like, yeah. I write little stuff down of, like, if I'm feeling sorry for myself, like if my knees hurt, I got a buddy with no legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think you have it bad.
Yeah.
You don't live in a landfill.
Yeah.
The perspective. Actually, yeah, and you got a buddy there, or someone you can actually call to complain to who has the actual problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's where positive reinforcement's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy Joey Jones has no legs.
Yeah, we got a few. And we have a lot of them, actually.
Every once in a while, I'll call him. I'm like, I just want to tell you how bad my feet hurt right now.
I was like, we got buddies. No, yeah, I was like, hey,
can you tell me to quit being a little bitch? He's like, well, let me tell you what I'm going through right now. Because he has to literally fall off the bed at night and belly crawl to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Dude, with no hands. Yeah. Like, man, I stubbed my
perspectives. Thumb, my everything.
Perspective, man.
You know? Yeah, perspectives,
you
everything.
You think you really got it? Them the kind of people you want to hang out with.
Yeah. Well,
you won't ever forget your plight. You're just kind of like, man, this is my lane. I can worry about other people's problems, but I don't. You don't want to bring them in. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want them to consume it, because they can. Absolutely. That's how you know you got partners.
Yeah.
Like, when you step into a world with them, and no matter what they're going through, their trouble is your trouble.
Or you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you got somebody like us, like you need to suck the fuck up.
Yeah.
We do not care.
Yeah.
We
don't care.
Well, those are two.
That's how you know we care. It's weird.
Those are two. You nailed two well-documented mental toughness hacks, essentially, with your brain. Like, the one mental trick, and you guys have seen this for sure, is pessimistic optimism. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're hunting and it's negative 20 and the snow is blowing sideways. The most mentally tough guy in the group, he's like on happy pills. He'll look at you and be like, oh, it's negative 20. At least it's not negative 40.
Okay.
At least we're not wet.
And instant,
at least that shit's, yeah, I got to the fucking hood on. Yeah.
And instantly you feel so much better. You're like, yeah, it's not negative 40. It's only negative 20.
The good thing is, that's like cut Ron moment. We're almost out of gas. We're almost out of gas.
Yeah. What's the good news? Well, we're almost out of gas.
It's like the cup is half full or half empty. Either way, man, shit, if you ain't ever been thirsty, there ain't no half full or half empty.
Yeah.
You just ain't ever been thirsty, because it don't matter how much is in there. And we will, man. We'll hold on to the last minute until it shifts, and then we'll be the first ones happy in that moment, because it doesn't matter. Shit or chaos, man. If you're in it, fucking.
I think eventually people realize they go through these adverse situations, man. They make just for the most amazing stories.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You just laugh your ass off at the end.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're looking for. I think that's kind of what we're digging into these days.
And a big part of y'all's success is perspective. Like y'all's community, like you have that accountability built into what y'all offer, right?
Yeah, the community's huge. And I think that it's also, it's that second mental toughness hack. I think it's, you know, like pessimistic optimism works, but so does checking on your buddies. So you'll be in a really terrible workout and you think it's the worst workout you've ever done and you're like redlining. But then if you look and try to just help your buddy get through this workout, then all of a sudden it's like half as hard as it used
to be. That's how guys get through hell.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to quit, look left and right. There's somebody still laying there.
Oh man,
yeah.
Then you start watching them,
especially when you find a motherfucker that's really funny, in the Hurt Locker.
Just, dude,
I mean, that you could just tell is in bad shape. Like, you're like,
I
man,
know that dude's
at hurting. Least I'm not as bad as that guy. He ain't looking good.
You can't pay for that humor.
And then
right
you ask
there,
him, like,
man.
Hey man, do I look as bad as you? Because if I don't, I'm doing good.
And then the best is when you start talking shit out in town about how tough you are, you're like,
no.
It's almost that you said it earlier. It's like, that's a good shirt line too. It's like perspective. You can't just get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to earn it.
You got to go through some shit.
Yeah, perspective. Right. You got to earn it.
You just can't get it.
Yeah.
Can't be given to you.
You got to earn
it. Man, we got some great one liners coming out of this thing,
man.
Buddy.
Yeah, nice work.
Well, those are great things for guys to learn too. Like, because If you're struggling in the backcountry and things are real shitty, and then you just start worrying about getting your buddy off the mountain,
you'll get eaten.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll kill you. Yeah, well, it'll consume you.
But the
kind of like the world they come out of.
Yeah.
If they freak out in that world, right, it'll do the same thing. It'll eat you up and spit you out, and then, and just like then, some people come and get you, some people won't.
Yeah.
You'll be there with a buddy or you won't, but definitely out there in the wilderness, man, if you can't talk your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even talk your way into it, man.
Ain't nobody coming to get you.
No shit.
Yeah.
long.
Can't sit out a tweet.
Yeah. You're self-reliant.
Tweet, please save me. Yeah.
You got to figure it out.
I'm going to text somebody.
It's like I got no reception in the backcountry.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's awesome. And these are skills that I think men need more than ever before.
Where you're at in location and that's one of them training academy areas.
Y'all like, when anybody show up like, hey, look, probably not a good idea.
Like Fight Club will make them wait at the gate for 2 months just standing out front.
We have a little bit of that going
good,
on.
Good, you should, yeah. Man. You know how it was when we come up? Our generation, man, the harder you make it.
Yeah.
They'll show up, the ones you won't.
Yeah.
And even the guys are like, hey, to make them into the men, that's a molding process too. But just, yeah. I'd imagine you already got this going. There'll be programs that guys are designated for. Like, hey, yeah, Mountain Tough. Then there's Mountain Tough SF, right? Mm-hmm. Where they just stay out there.
Yeah.
Can't get them off the mountain.
I love that part, though.
Yeah, even your plans for like events of y'all's own or hunts of y'all's own, so you can really take that fundamental training that you've given them on the front end to say, okay, let's put this to action.
Yeah, like make a documentary.
Like Mountain Man
Nationals. Make like a docu-series out of it.
Yeah.
Like a competition out of that sucker.
Yeah.
Like Mountain Man, like this is the hard, there's a triathlete.
Not a competition, man. Let's make
no, but not for trophy-wise, just to build up to see who can do
what.
That'd
be great. I mean, I'm not saying make a show out of y'all's thing, but... Hell, everybody else is doing it, but I mean, like a docu-series. I mean,
yeah,
you can make the show without having to make the show.
Yeah,
like if you played it out in your head, how people would watch that and what put them through, and then that's the guideline. That's kind of the outline. It feeds itself. You're already doing it.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know, man.
Yeah, we got plans for mostly like an event to get the whole community together. And so we'll probably do like an annual event where Mountain Toughers can come out to Bozeman once a year. And I think that just the bonding experience of that and putting them through workouts together live will be pretty powerful.
Oh, it'll definitely make them a team.
Yeah.
That's how you make us.
Yeah.
You take a bunch of guys from all walks of life, they wouldn't normally get along. A bunch of alpha predators in one area. If they're hunters and they're predators, alpha predator, apex predators, right? Then I'm normally not going to get along.
Yeah.
Unless you put them in a situation where they're all getting their ass whipped by the one thing. And then they become a team, and then you just keep pounding on them, and eventually they'll become so hardcore for each other. That's how you create that unity.
Yeah.
And that gets passed down. Because as soon as they go home, everything around them is just going to fall back into line. People always look up to those guys.
Yeah.
You're creating those pillars and sending them out.
Yeah. Yeah, we tell everyone now, like anyone, any guy in the country who's struggling with any sort of depression, anxiety, they need to do something super hard this year. And our perspective is they need to do something outside that's super hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nothing that's going to change or save their life more powerful than
you gotta
that.
Get out of the indoor
because that's what's causing the problem.
Tech
that's putting the shit the indoors.
Yeah,
it's outside.
Yeah, yeah. They should put a hunt on their calendar now, and they should just go do it. And a lot of guys are intimidated by that. They like don't live in the West.
Would you be? I mean, say what?
A lot of guys like are intimidated by hunting out West for their first time ever.
Gotcha.
Just like. In the backcountry.
Would you guys be willing to take people just in the backcountry? Carry everything? I mean, because you got to go to the lottery, you got to get a tag, you got to know something, all that kind of stuff, got to get an outfit. Are you guys willing just to, hey, look, we're going to go out hunting, but probably not going to get anything?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You explained that part, right?
Yeah.
That's what teaches patience and discipline. Like, we hunt, we went out all the time, you don't see anything.
Take them out on a skunkle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They see shit.
Yeah.
Like, man, if you do get this, it's kind of like swimming in the ocean. If you see a shark, man, you better take a look.
Yeah.
Because normally you don't see them. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the animals, when you're out there, man, most of the time you're just going for a nature walk for yourself. You don't have to actually get something down to learn something on that hunt. The stalk in itself teaches you about and your kit.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the first couple of weeks when I was hunting on camera, man, most of that stuff's just walking around. Even if you see something the first day, we weren't allowed to kill it. We had to actually stalk it, keep it in range, like move with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that stuff that breeds. There's always something. The minute you teach somebody something, they're going to turn around and do it their way, which means they know a different way to teach it now.
Yeah. They just need to get out there.
Yep.
Yeah. They need to get out there and get in the elements, do something way harder than they think they're able to accomplish.
I think that's great advice. People, especially my age, you know, millennials, I guess I fall into the millennial category. You know, it's like, and I own an internet company. Like, all I do is sit at a computer. So, like, you really got kind of just, like, overwhelmed with that all the time, and you're forgetting to make time outside or for yourself. I bought the website domain disconnectconference.com because I thought the same thing. Like, it'd be really cool to just disconnect for a certain amount of time. No phones, no technology, just, like, getting connected with the outdoors.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy awesome. Power.
People need a place to do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And someone to facilitate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next? I mean, close us out.
Our big mission now is to keep building that. So all Mountain Tough training's in an app. So Mountain Tough's on iPhone, Android, Apple TV.
Brilliant,
it's everywhere. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Great job, man.
Thanks.
During the quarantine and COVID and everything shut down, those are great.
When those come online?
So we've been training people digitally the whole time since 2016, but we built our own native app and launched it this year in December. So now now you can stream on your smart TV, you can stream on your iPhone, which is awesome because you can do a minimal gear workout anywhere in the world, and you can do our home gym training if you have the equipment. But there's programs for all levels, beginner, intermediate, elite, and then there's body weight programming, nutrition programming, and then there's all of our mental toughness content in there as well.
You realize, man, this can apply to them all day, every day when they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like the way you hide, that they're training, a lot of people think, well, I got an app's the best way. And those the icons and the alerts that you send up,
is kind
of, people think, well, I got to go get ready for work. That's part of your training. And then in between from you driving here to there, you can do something on that in between. You can train something.
Yeah.
Like breathing.
Yeah.
Most people think that gets overlooked. They don't train that because when you're working out, your body's doing it for you.
Yeah.
But those moments when you're sitting down doing your drive or something, focus on your breath count, because if you lose your cool up there, that's how you get it back. That's the only way you get it back. Got to hit that breath count.
Yeah.
Right?
Mindfulness.
Because it pulls that back in there. Because if your body is getting hurt, that's what they had to teach us. Had to beat this sucker to death before our mind even would kick in. Then they had to break that part for our spirit to step in, right?
Yeah.
The nature does that for you.
Yeah.
The only way you can get it back is to breathe. And each one of those little programs set up. So for anybody listening, it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're trying to change somebody's, you know, alter their carbon, trying to change them into something completely and mold them into what they're supposed to be. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, creating that elite man.
Yeah,
takes
the
a lot.
Elite man, I like it.
That's the new program.
Yeah,
there you go, man. The elite man. That's awesome. Hey, Dustin, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you tell people how they can support you, where they can download the app, website, all that fun stuff.
You bet. Yeah, so everything's on mountaintough.com, website, social. It's all under Mountain Tough, Mountain Tough Fitness. Then the app's available anywhere you could stream anything else. So Apple TV, iPhone, Android, all the app stores, all under Mountain Tough.
Thanks for coming out, man.
Thanks again, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Welcome to Texas.
What's next for you guys?
Congress.
Congress.
Yeah, Congress, man.
Bro, I'm a rancher. I got the cows now, a couple of ponies up front, then the kids, same age as yours.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
It's fun.
You know, it's, we always do everything together.